Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, I've got the show started, actually. I've gone from a two-hour show to a one-hour show for the winter months because it's a little hard to get this my studio heated up so that I can use it when it's cold outside. So I've been have changed it to a one-hour show. I am working on getting the chat room open. I think it is right at the moment, but I'm not exactly sure. I want to get my second computer opened up so that I can actually put the chat room on it, and that way I won't have to worry about seeing what is there, seeing who is there, and just use the screen of my regular computer for my studio and my show notes, which I'm working from now. So welcome to the show on this, the 3rd of December. Today was an amazing day. It was like about 60 degrees here. It was supposed to get up to about 58. Tomorrow it's supposed to be 62 with sunshine. It's going to be a beautiful day. And then the bottom is going to drop out and it's going to hit, I think the next day is supposed to be 38, which is not something I am looking forward to. But 38 degrees actually is still warmer than normal this time of year. But that being as it may, not exactly what I want it to be. I tried to call in on my show through Skype, but it would not allow me to do it today. It would dial the number, but it wouldn't do anything else. So I had to call in through my phone. So yeah, the sound quality may not be as good as normal, but bear with me this time. 14 beautiful souls were taken from us, and countless others were forever scarred on December 2nd of 2015. Although 2 years and 1 day have gone by since the terrorist attack at the Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, each one of us think about those who are no longer with us, those who are still healing physically and emotionally, and the impact this horrific tragedy has had on the San Bernardino County community. The grief, the anger, and the fear remain. On that terrible day, the world reached out to San Bernardino County, offered support, thoughts, and prayers. The county community wrapped its arms around our county government family and comforted us through some very dark times. On Saturday, a special remembrance was paid to those who are no longer with us, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, neighbors, and co-workers all honored those who suffer still, and suffer they still do. Since that day 2 years ago, there have been many incidences of terror here in America. The majority of the people get it. It is terror, senseless killing of people who were in the wrong place at the wrong time and paid the ultimate price for it. And the terrorists who bring us this sanity seem to just melt away. Examples must be made of each and every one of them. The world must be taught. The liberals in this country must be taught that terrorism in any form must not be tolerated. And the main thing that is keeping this whole thing going, my friends, are gun-free zones. I guarantee you this. We have learned through the last several years that things like this happening in gun-free zones, and the liberals have yet to figure this one out, though the facts slap them in the face every time. And in the face slapping of these facts, the first thing they head for is their safe zone of making America a gun-free zone. What that will accomplish is this, and everybody needs to listen who is a liberal. Everyone who is a law-abiding citizen will no longer have guns. But as always, the criminals and the terrorists who do not follow laws will still have them. And we will all be sitting ducks lined up for the next strong-arm robbery or the next terror attack by some deranged nutbag who decides, hey, this place doesn't allow guns. I will go in there and kill a bunch of people for no reason at all and make people suffer, and the cops are at least 10 minutes away. Time enough to do my terroristic deeds. Yippee! It all makes me wonder, how many more people have to be senselessly killed before the left in this country wise up, grow a brain cell, and start realizing their gun-free zones do not stop gun violence and murder mayhem. It promotes it. That their new gun control laws do nothing to stop this senseless mayhem that they call gun control. If the truth be known, gun control is holding a gun in both hands, aiming at the bad guys and stopping this violence. No other gun control will work, and it's been proven. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I am your humble host, Robert the Infidel Guarding, and I'm glad you are here.
Roger that. News sources that there is serious talk of Antifa having a nationwide protest/riot. I think it was like November 4th or 3rd.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Guarding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, good afternoon, or actually, from the way it looks outside, good evening, and welcome to the show. The call-in number, if you wish to join the show, is 646-478-5284. The winter is definitely here, even though this weekend has been fairly nice, fairly not cold here in Indiana. I know this trend of sunshine and nice weather is not going to last. It will be cold here soon, even though today was nice and warm, about 58 degrees, with high temperature predicted tomorrow to be 62. And we won't talk about the days after because they will be cold. Kathy Hinners, one of my mentors on terrorism and Islam, wrote a piece the other a while back that was very apropos. And I asked her if I could use it, and she graciously gave me permission to use any of her stuff, which is a great thing because she is a wealth of information that on the cult of Islam and why we are doing the wrong things by letting them in America. We have to remember they want Sharia law here in America, and Sharia law and our Constitution are not compatible. One or the other has to go. This one is sobering. It's nothing but sobering, but if you are interested in making America safe again and saving our freedoms, this has to be listened to. Muslims in America used to fear being exposed as they began their mission to proselytize, infiltrate, and indoctrinate. Today, that fear no longer exists as they are empowered and emboldened by ignorant morons in churches, synagogues, educational institutions, and businesses. Are Americans so spineless and worried about offending adherents of a false religion that you sacrifice your own children, your own faith, and your country? It appears the answer is yes. Recently, we exposed that the children attending seventh grade at Meigs Magnet School, and that's M-E-I-G-S, so I might have mispronounced that, in Nashville, Tennessee, were taken to a radical mosque under the guise of social studies, only to be told that they would, quote, leave with a compartment in their brains filled with Islam stuff, unquote. This isn't diversity or cultural awareness. This is nothing but indoctrination. Yet, how many parents have come forward to demand accountability from the school district? Where is the outrage from the atheists who cringe when they see Christian symbols in schools? Apparently, they are nothing but cowards. America is at a crossroads here. The weak are being bullied by the followers of a political way of life disguised as a religion and are taking over. If the exodus down that road continues, we will see Sharia as the law of the land and Islam as the superior religion. Thanks to Muslims in America, we are well on the way to being a godless, lawless nation. No longer is the culture of America passed on through generations. Now it is viewed as racist or hateful because Muslims say so. Muslims in America have labeled everyone and everything that resembles our God or our pride in our country as bigoted and supremacist, causing vast numbers of Americans to cave and be silent. They have redefined hate and caused division within this country, yet droves of Americans rush to mosques to hear their lies. Gonna be, people. Either you stand and speak out, or you cower and accept the perversion called Islam that will someday have you killed. Now, this is so true, my friends. We have got to start standing up, fighting this war that has been brought to our shores instead of cowering like little cowards sitting behind a pillbox of, oh, please don't hurt us. We will keep you here and we will make you feel welcome. That's a bunch of bull. Fighting this war that has been brought to our shores, the schools now are teaching that no wars have been fought on American soil. This is so wrong. We have had wars here. And to top that off, my friends, we have one here now. Though the media, the liberal left, and most in our government cover up and say nothing is happening. We are safe. We have nothing to fear except for who we have in the White House. Friends, I am here to say the least of our worries right now is Donald Trump in the White House. The fear should come from the liberal left and their influence on the right in this nation to keep us safe, because they are not doing it. And refusing to call the cult of Islam an enemy is only emboldening them more and more to take more and more of our freedoms away in the name of Allah. And that's Allah with a small A, not a large capital one. Praise be to God Almighty. This has to stop. Even though I live in rural America and am relatively safe here, if that menace comes here, I will be on the front lines, and I will fight it. Will you? To me, it will always be God bless America, never Allah damn America. Heavenly Father, keep us strong in the face of this enemy that many here in America refuse to acknowledge. Help us to see the dangers of this tyrannical rule that poses as a religion, and let us know that we have an enemy and we need to annihilate them or lose our freedoms and lives in the process if we don't. Amen. It has been a long-standing tradition that the former and current president of the United States work together for their love of country. Both men side their differences in political ideology to focus on what is good for the American people and our future. However, that is not the case when it comes to Barack Obama and his lack of respect for our country and President Trump. But is anyone honestly shocked? This past year, Obama has finally reduced back to just being, was finally reduced to back to just being an average citizen of the country and no longer the most powerful man on the planet, which apparently has not settled well with the egotistical Obama. So every chance that Obama gets, he takes a jab at the president and virtually undermining his roles in leading the country efficiently. Not only has Obama been vocal about his displeasure with President Trump in the White House, but he has also set up residents just a few miles away from the White House to continue monitoring Trump's movements. And I am still working to get the chat room open, so don't give up on me here, folks. I am working on it even as I tell the stories that I have for today's show. But on with that story, as Obama continues to monitor Trump's movements. Now it appears that Obama really stepped over the line after being caught red-handed attempting to destroy President Trump, which happens to be a federal crime. Over the last year, Obama has been doing all that he can to undermine President Trump's administration, whether it was when Obama followed Trump overseas during his first trip as president or the G20 summit meeting in Germany. Obama has always been close behind. Now, all of those are horrible offenses. None, but none could honestly be as bad as what Obama was just caught doing overseas. Obama has been on a world tour again, stopping off and speaking to world leaders in some pathetic attempt to relive his glory years. Instead of the failed president just stopping by, picking up souvenirs and going on his way, Obama has been busy mocking President Trump on a world stage. President Barack Obama was first seen with President Xi Jinping of Japan after President Trump had just had a successful visit a few weeks ago. There is more, but here is more from Bloomberg. Obama opened his trip Tuesday in Shanghai, where he delivered a speech at an event hosted by the business nonprofit, the Global Alliance of SMEs, which was attended by some 2,500 industry executives, according to the organization's website. He stressed in his speech that China-U.S. relations were at the most consequential bilateral ties in the world, and the dialogue was the only way to solve disagreements, according to the Shanghai-based news website, The Paper. As part of the three-nation tour, he'll also meet with Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. I hope I get that right. Obama's office said in a news release Tuesday that the former president had forged a close and cooperative partnership with President Xi on issues ranging from growing the global economy to combating climate change, which he looks forward to catching up with his former counterpart. Okay, here is where the issue lies with Obama chatting with President Xi. Obama is no longer a representative of America and holds no current position in the current administration. So, in all reality, he has no business discussing anything with President Xi. More importantly, it is against the law. Obama is inserting himself into world affairs that he is no longer a part of and could cause further issues, which is why he needs to stop and fast. However, that is not the Obama way, and we found him traveling the world, inserting himself into more American affairs without proper clearance. This has gotten people on the right thrown in jail, don't you know? Again, Obama then traveled to India and France, slamming President Trump and peddling global warming that has hardly proven to be true. Again, this is a private citizen speaking poorly about policy overseas, which in fact goes against the Logan Act. Now, you may be asking yourself, what is the Logan Act? And I think a lot of patriots out there know. And how does this apply to the Obama and his worldwide bash Trump tour? The Logan Act was implemented in 1799 to prevent citizens like Obama from talking against the policy of the U.S. government. As of yet, no one has been charged in our nation's history with the violation against the Logan Act, but Obama is so intent on leaving a legacy that this could be right up his alley. But of course, since he was Obama and the darling of the Democrat Party, this would never be done against him anyway. If Bush or Reagan had done this, or if Trump does it after he leaves office, I will bet my life that they would arrest him on the charges of the Logan Act. It should be done to Obama, too. And that is something that needs to be done. And we will be right back after these messages.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol, six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky. Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com, to stand for America now.
Are you one of those people that the left likes to label as a dumb hayseed hick who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment, and freedom? Do you value your guns? Are you a traditional American patriot who is not afraid to voice your support for America? Do you wish that you had a way to get that patriotic message out? Do you dream of the day you can? Well, that day is at hand because Conservative Nation Media is looking for just such a person. Be a radio host for your very own patriotic venue to get your voice out on CNM. Choose your day and time, and presto, the left will go crazy because more of the truth they want hidden will get out. So do your part. Email us at conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com to get started informing patriots like you who want their government to know that we know what is going on. That's conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com. Then you can let the world know we will not be ruled.
But we finally got the chat room open, and if any of you, anybody's out there, they can go in, and we are there now. In a new blockbuster deal, pharmacy giant CVS Health has agreed to buy Aetna in a $69 billion, and yes, you heard me right, billion with a B, not an M, in a deal that could rein in healthcare costs and transform its 9,700 pharmacy storefronts into community medical hubs for primary care and basic procedures, people familiar with the deal said Sunday, which was today. The pharmacy chain agreed to buy Aetna for about $207 per share, broken down to $145 in cash and the rest in stock, according to those sources. The deal is expected to close in the second half of 2018, subject to approval by shareholders and regulators. If approved, the mega merger would create a giant healthcare company, allowing CVS to provide a broad range of health services to Aetna's 22 million medical members at its nationwide network of pharmacies and walk-in clinics, and further decrease the drugstore titan's reliance on the retail sales that have faced increasing competition. And the deal is likely to set off even more mergers in the healthcare industry, which has been undergoing consolidation and faces potential new competition from Amazon. It will also position Aetna to be more competitive in the United Health Group, with United Health Group, an insurer that has already strayed outside the typical boundaries with a large and growing business in pharmacy care service clinics and surgery care centers and healthcare data. Here is the problem that I see with this. The government, especially the liberal side, will look at this merger and decide that it violates the laws that they have tried to make on super companies, and they will try to stop this. But they will also try because it could cause competition to their entity that Obama got going, United Healthcare Services, United Health Services Marketplace. Mark my words, the war is coming. It's going to be interesting when it does, especially if the Republicans find their backbone and grow a pair so that they will stand up and do the right thing for once. But that is something that we're just going to have to find out when it happens, if it happens, and it's just something we're just going to have to find out when it happens. Like I said, the time comes when everyone must stop and wonder just how we got so off the track and so off, so wrong. The stories that I am talking about today seem to show that wrongness all over them, like this one from Daily Roll Call, which shows us just how far off the right track that we have gotten. This one was posted in November. Once again, the big news story is another Muslim has committed an act of terror, this time in New York City, by plowing down those out to enjoy a beautiful fall day. And once again, we fall into the typical response as attacks like this become the norm. News channels play their somber music as they fade from the horrific pictures to commercials, and social media becomes filled with sudden bouts of patriotism, and Muslims put on their victim faces, complaining they must defend their so-called religion again. There will be candlelight vigils, and the crime scene will be filled with flowers and teddy bears as Christians and Jews will rush to mosques to defend those who lie and deceive. Interfaith events will increase as Islamists claim the backlash has caused them trauma, and fake crime against Muslims will once again rise, is how America reacts to Islamic terrorism. So how do Muslims in America respond? With self-pity and deceit, like this tweet from Hassan Shibli. Collective punishment when a minority is the suspect? What did you order after the white shooter killed 58 in Vegas? Oh, wait, nothing. Now, Hassan Shibli is an attorney and director of CARE in Tampa, Florida. Now, you hear the acronym CARE when you think, and you think, CARE. They must really care about people when CARE stands for Council on American Islamic Relations. And it isn't about relations like we think of them. We think of relations like family or loved ones or people that we want in our lives or relations between friends, but to them, to Islam, only relations they are interested in is making America Islamic, taking our Constitution and throwing it in the fire and getting rid of it, getting rid of our laws and morals and changing them to Islamic laws and morals, where women can't be seen in public unless totally covered by their hijab and dress, always black or white, never showing curves, losing all the dignity that women in this country now have but won't have if they succeed, changing men into monsters who control their women with an iron fist or a baseball bat or a gun or whatever. That is what the Islamic takeover of America will contain, folks. Don't doubt me on this. If we don't start fighting this takeover of America, that is what we are going to have. Mark my words. When we have schools that have Islamic speakers who want to make little compartments in the brains of our children to fill them with Islamic stuff, that can only mean one thing. Our children are being indoctrinated into the Islamic way of life, and we are doing nothing about stopping it. No wonder we have so many of our kids thinking that the Constitution is outdated and needs to be gotten rid of. They don't know that it is that very Constitution that gives them the right to believe and say stuff like that without being thrown in jail or worse. But they also don't know that if they accept that way of thinking, that if they go back and start thinking the Constitution was great and needs to be brought back, they will then be in danger of ending up at the end of a blade, their heads, or in jail, or both. Think on that one before you decide that the Constitution doesn't do anything for you anymore, because it does. You say things like that and you're not in jail or dead, are you? Get rid of the Constitution, and you will be. Mark my words. You will be. From 100%fedup.com comes this one. Why is Al Sharpton's half-brother registering thousands of felons to vote in Alabama's Senate race? Pastor Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow claims he's Reverend Al Sharpton's brother, and he's registering thousands of felons to vote in the hotly contested upcoming Senate election. Sorry about that. When local News 5 station looked into the pastor's claims that he was Al Sharpton's brother, they made an interesting discovery. Glasgow told News 5 that he was indeed Al Sharpton's brother and that he dropped the Sharpton name because we didn't want somebody that's a racist, a bigot, to try to kill me knowing I was Sharpton's brother while he was in prison. News 5 performed a background check on Glasgow and came up with nothing, but they also called Reverend Sharpton's office in New York and spoke with Sharpton's media correspondent who said he'd never heard of Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow. It wasn't until they contacted Sharpton Glasgow's mother they finally discovered the connection. As it turns out, Glasgow actually has ties to Al Sharpton, as heard in this audio of a video that was made. I'll get back to it here. There it is. Found it.
First on 5, 1 week after a Mobile police officer shot and killed an armed teenager, Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow came to town demanding Officer Harold Hurst face criminal charges in Michael Moore's death. Glasgow even threatened to shut down two major interstates, I-10 and I-65. This out-of-towner caught our attention. Wanting to know more about his background, we researched his middle name, Sharpton, because he claims to be Reverend Al Sharpton's brother, but he didn't have any physical evidence to prove it. Yesterday, we called Al Sharpton's media correspondent, who said he didn't know Kenneth Glasgow, but Glasgow stood by his claims, so we looked even deeper today. We found out Glasgow and Al Sharpton are related. They're half-brothers, but it's not as clear as you might think. News 5's Emily DeVoe walks us through what she uncovered. Like most investigations, ours started with a search online. Our assignment editor and I ran a background check on Kenneth Glasgow to see if we could find any legal documents linking him to the Sharpton name.
So this is the background check we did on Mr. Glasgow, and it does list his relatives, or to their best available information, his relatives. And there are no Sharptons listed.
We tried it again using the name Kenneth Sharpton. Nothing turned up.
I was born Kenneth Sharpton.
In our interview Tuesday, Glasgow told us he stopped going by Sharpton when he went to prison.
We didn't want somebody that's a racist or bigot to try to kill me knowing I was Sharpton's brother.
So we called Dothan Municipal Court to see if they had any records of a Kenneth Sharpton prior to his drug charge.
I have a Kenneth Sharpton in our computer.
Again, nothing turned up. That's when our search took us to the obituary of Ada Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton's mother. We found the name we were looking for, Glasgow. Ada Sharpton's first marriage was to a man named John Glasgow. Sound familiar? Well, the two of them had two children, Tina and Sonny Glasgow. Ada and John decided to move to New York and left their children behind. But when they moved up there, they got divorced, and Ada met Al Sharpton Sr. and married him. They had two kids as well, Al Sharpton Jr., who we all know, and Joy Sharpton. Meanwhile, Tina Glasgow gave birth to Kenneth.
Without us knowing who Ken Glasgow's father is, the only way he can be brothers with Al Sharpton Jr. if it's his dad, it's Al Sharpton Sr.
So we called him up.
So you're saying that Al Sharpton Sr. slept with his wife's daughter?
According to what I was told.
Kenneth even put his mother, Tina Glasgow, on the phone.
Where the name Sharpton comes from? Cause
okay, what's that got to do with the case?
He says his birth certificate says Sharpton, but none of the other legal documents we could find have it anywhere. Regardless, whether you admit it or not, the name Sharpton has a strong PR purpose in the world of being an activist.
I don't need Sharpton clout, Sharpton to validate me or the Sharpton name to do anything for me. The work I've done speaks for itself.
Okay, much like his brother, the pastor also is a Democrat activist, and he is pulling out all the stops to help the party defeat Judge Roy Moore, the Republican candidate for the Senate in Alabama. While the Democrat Party is begging for donors to help support Moore's opponent, Doug Jones, Al Sharpton's half-brother is busy signing up felons to vote in a controversial election where every vote will count. Thousands of felons across Alabama have registered to vote in recent weeks, according to Pastor Kenneth Glasgow, who is heading up a statewide effort to get felons to the voting booth, which, if I'm thinking right, they don't have the right for that. But, you know, I may be wrong, but I don't think so. Glasgow's goal is to get as many felons as possible signed up to vote before the end of the day, Monday, which is, I guess, tomorrow, the deadline to be able to cast a ballot in Alabama's December 12th U.S. Senate special election. In the last month, I think we registered at least 5,000 to 10,000 people all over the state. Glasgow, president of Dothan's The Ordinary People Society, or TOPS, advocacy group, said Monday, "I've got people all over the state registering people with my TOPS branches in Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Montgomery, Enterprise, Dothan, Abbeville, Geneva, Gordon, and Bessemer. We have a lot." For generations, most Alabamians convicted of a felon were barred from ever voting in the state again. But the definition of Moral Turpitude Act, a new law passed by the state legislature and signed by Governor Kay Ivey in May, cleared the way for thousands of felons to restore their voting rights. The law lists several dozen felony convictions that are considered crimes of moral turpitude, which means that anyone convicted of any of one of them loses the right to vote. Other felons are now eligible to restore that right. Previously, the list of crimes that some registrars considered to be of moral turpitude was not clearly defined, and many felons simply believe they could never regain the franchise. This is just another attempt to sway the ballots to go away from the Republicans. Folks, we have to realize here, before any more Democrats are elected, if they have to resort to registering, then we should know that their candidates have nothing for us. And that is nothing with a capital letter. N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing. If we value our freedoms and our liberties, electing Democrats, and sadly many Republicans too, will not keep them intact. Vet your candidates before voting. Voting is not a mindless thing. You have to know what the candidate has in mind if he wins. Will he be there to help you keep your freedoms, or will he be there to take more of them away? That is a question that should be on our minds and on your minds every time we vote, because mindless voting is a vote for less freedoms and less liberty. We have seen that with Obama. We have seen that with Pelosi. We have seen that with McCain. Start using your brains when you vote. That is the only way you will continue to keep your freedoms intact. And we will be right back after these important messages.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by a 2-to-1 margin, according to numerous polls, even those by the liberals themselves. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com. Oh, boy, lost my place. Or TradAm, as we call our home. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on Traditional American Movement, all one word, .com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAm is a liberal free website.
Been looking for an online gathering place, you know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Vietnam was the war where American troops showed valor and bravery on the battlefield, but where the enemy was not only like ghosts in the jungle, but they were superstitious too. This gave rise to the Vampire Patrol. Six men who fought the whole war together, spreading death, destruction, and vampire voodoo lore into the ranks of the Viet Cong. Now, years later, Matt Joseph works as a private investigator in Tucson, Arizona, while his best friend and former commander of the Vampire Patrol is chief of police of the South Tucson precinct. The job that gets Matt on the case is one that brings the Vampire Patrol back from the past and places it smack dab in the middle of the present, taking him to a small town on the Indian reservation called Lukachukai in northern Arizona. There, a mountain named Root Butte not only holds mystery, but a cloud of fear that oozes out of it into the night sky. Matt is the one to find out what is going on here, and without becoming part of the nasty plan involved. Night Owls is the first in a new series of mysteries with Matt Joseph, Private Eye, and is on sale now at https://www.createspace.com/486-9187. This book is also available in digital form. That's Night Owls, a Matt Joseph mystery by Robert P. Garding, and I approve of this message.
Okay, from Freedom Outpost, the U.S. and U.S. News, comes this one. Inspector General, U.S. troops may be criminally punished for stopping Afghan soldiers from raping children. After reading that, I just shook my head in disbelief on this one, mainly because of all the news of Judge Roy Moore from 40 years ago when there was no law in the books against what he is being accused of. This one shows up, and shows up only on the right-leaning media. The left-leaning media doesn't even want to talk about this one. But yes, you read that right. The nuts have taken over the nut house. We have escaped the usurper Barack Hussein Obama, Sotero Sabarka, who encouraged this diabolical behavior. We learned last week that U.S. troops have been indoctrinated to be mindful of that child sex abuse is culturally accepted in Afghanistan. And this is not just among the Afghan military, but among civilians as well, as we have seen several attacks by Afghans seeking asylum committing rape, child rape, and sodomizing little children. It was done to little boys in what is termed Vakabazi, which are often dancing boys. Breitbart is now reporting that a Pentagon inspector general says that U.S. soldiers who intervene to stop children from being raped by Afghan soldiers may face criminal punishment. American service members in Afghanistan have relatively recently been officially required to report when U.S. taxpayer-funded Afghan security forces sexually abuse young boys, but they are not obligated to intervene and may be criminally punished for doing so, according to an audit by the Pentagon Inspector General. Moreover, one American service member told that the IG U.S. troops were told to ignore the ancient pedophilic Afghan custom known as Bakabazi, or playing with the boys, confirming that the findings of a New York Times article issued in September of 2015. The IG notes that reporting the incidences is necessary when a soldier actually observes child rape, and the soldier can intervene at that moment. Any action taken outside of actually witnessing the crime could result in disciplinary action. There's no recourse to stop them from Bakabazi. Soldiers were told to ignore it and drive on, said the service member. Referring to the chain of command, another U.S. troop told the auditor, the initial reaction of the staff was, "We don't really care about this, and we're not going to do anything about it." Prior to 2015, apparently an audit shows that U.S. troops were confused about whether such behavior was wrong. How can this be? Apparently, troops have reported incidences where sexual abuse of children have taken place at the hands of Afghan soldiers, but the reports have been incomplete, according to the IG. As a result, there is no certainty that U.S. forces in Afghanistan received notification of all allegations of human rights violations, including sexual abuse involving ANDSF personnel, the IG wrote. The report from Breitbart adds, not only are U.S. troops not required to intervene when an ANDSF member rapes a child inside a base they share with the Americans, their superiors may reprimand them for taking any action. The IG for the U.S. Department of Defense, or DOD, explained, under DOD law and consistent with bilateral and international agreements governing U.S. operations in Afghanistan, U.S. forces who observe a member of the ANDSF sexually abusing a child are not prohibited from intervening and using reasonable force as may be necessary to prevent or stop such sexual abuse. However, U.S. forces are under no obligation to intervene. We note that intervention and, if necessary, use of force to stop such an assault is dependent on actually observing the abuse or the assault in question. Such action would not be appropriate based on others' assertions, allegations of complaints, or alleged abuse. The Inspector General later acknowledges that an American service member who intervenes or uses force against an ANDSF child rapist outside of catching them in the act of raping a child could be subject to possible allegations of criminal misconduct, e.g. assault, resulting from the use of force during the intervention. However, the responsibility to punish the U.S. service member falls on American authorities, not the government of the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan. Huh? This, my friends, is insanity at best, and another shot at the morality of this world. Too many more hits like this one, morality will die. If they want American soldiers to be punished for Afghan soldier from raping a child, then they need to be the ones dealing out the punishment, not saying the American government should have to do it. That's just moronic at best. I swear, this world is going so insane, it's just totally out of control right now. And wow, this is huge. The Democrats and their leaders are obviously ticking off the big boys with big bucks. Was it something they said? DNC Chairman Tom Perez could be the culprit, or was it Donna Brazile exposing the corruption in the DNC? We're happy Morgan saw the light and ditched the DNC, but he's still on board with some Democratic candidates, and he needs to come over to the right side. Tallahassee. John Morgan tossed a bomb Friday into the 2018 political landscape, saying in a post-Thanksgiving message he is leaving the Democratic Party and that Democratic Senator Bill Nelson should not run for re-election but rather seek the governor's mansion so he can leave a legacy. I can't muster enthusiasm for any of today's politicians, the prominent trial lawyer and Democratic fundraiser wrote on Twitter. They are all the same, both parties. I plan to register as an independent, when I vote for the lesser of two evils. Morgan said that he would support some Democratic candidates he likes, but he would not raise a dime for national groups like the Democratic National Committee. F no, he said. using the full word, when asked if he would help national organizations. That's like pissing down a rat hole, read Donna Brazile's book. Morgan was referring to a book by the former interim DNC chair reviewed this month in Politico magazine, where she says the party essentially rigged the DNC to support Hillary Clinton before the Democratic primary was over. Dumb bunch of dumbass political hacks, Morgan added. Boy, I'll tell you. And just when you think the globalists can't get any more terrifyingly stupid, they outdo themselves. In what seems like we now have our very own homegrown terror group, the FBI this week has released a series of documents warning the American people that far-left wing groups such as Antifa and a few others are actively planning to wreak violent havoc across the United States of America and the world in 2018. According to American author Edward Klein, the Barack Hussein Obama administration, along with George Soros and the Clinton machine, plotted this course of civil unrest shortly after Trump won the election in order to remove him by force. When you think the globalists can't get any more terrifyingly stupid, they outdo themselves. In what seems to be this homegrown terror group, thankfully, the FBI has released a series of documents warning the American people of them. You know, and like I said, like groups such as Antifa, and they're planning to wreak violent havoc across the United States of America and the world in 2018. We need to start putting these people down, and not in a nice way either. They are being idiots of the nth degree, and it seems that we are time. And you have been listening to the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number has been 646-478-5284. And we hope that you enjoyed the show. And NWCR is expanding. We first heard our blog, which now has almost 200,000 hits on the counter, and we've got two authors. We started this radio show back in 2008 or thereabouts. We have done videos and audios until last year, when we started to expand by combining the two into the new NWCR's audio video side chats, a Rush type daily update that is done on Facebook Live Monday through Friday of each week. Some of the subjects breached on the updates in the media would call controversial, but controversy means the truth, isn't it? Means the truth isn't there. With the updates, the truth is. So no controversy there. Then on Sundays, you have this show, and I'm thinking about doing a thing on Saturday where I got the NWCR News, which will bring you a live news report. I'm planning on Saturday. So stay tuned for more as we strive to bring you the news that you deserve without the fluff of the lies and distortions from the lying lamestream media. Listen in daily to Facebook Live and for NWCR's audio video side chats, and please share. This is a great way to do what the president does, by passing the lamestream lying media and going straight to the people. And as always, we will not be ruled. We wish to thank you all for coming into the show this week, and next week we will be back again for your conservative news that no one else in the media wants to give you, but that is what we are here for. During the winter months that are coming, NWCR will be actively looking for other shows that want to join the Conservative Nation media family, and our normally two-hour show will just be 1 hour, to be restarted with the 2 hours in the spring. So until next week, we will leave you with this little thought. America was formed to get rid of tyranny, and the government was set up to keep tyranny out. Why isn't our government doing its job and stopping tyranny? Most of it can be stopped by following laws that are on the books. Others by having them do what they are supposed to do. Stop funding it. The House, after all, controls the purse strings of the government. If they defunded something, then that something will not be able to get money anymore. Obamacare is a great example of that. When the Republicans took the House, they at that point had the power to put Obamacare under with no funding. think on that one the next time the Republicans say they don't have enough of a majority to do it. They have had that power since the House. So the next thing we need to do is get rid of all the Republicans that won't do what they were put there to do. Have a great week, and I will see you again next week, same time, same channel, and you have yourself a great week, and I will see you next week. Have a good day.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Here, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll be like the whole wide world is raining down. Dog will fight when you rattle his cage, and you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list, and a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and the eagle will fly, and it's gone. It's raining down on you. I'm brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
God bless America.